Father, we kneel in your awesome presence, for you are worthy. For we come from a week of work and worry and stress and hassle, and we want to know what our God has to say to us to comfort, encourage, and give us hope. So, Lord, I now pray that you use me to be a blessing in spite of the fact that I'm just like everybody else in this sanctuary, so that when everything is said and done, we'll all agree that Jesus spoke to us and we saw him here today. So take charge and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Send out or kick out. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Matthew, the 9th chapter. Matthew, the 9th chapter, we're going to read verse 35 through 38. Children, get your Bibles out, please. Open to Matthew. Parents, help them find the page so you can follow along. We've got four brief texts that we're going to look at that are very pertinent, and we want to determine if the graffiti from the 1800s found on the Washington Monument indeed is the thinking of God. Matthew 9, I'm going to begin at verse 35. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his field." I want you to see the context, first and foremost, of this short passage of Scripture. It says here that Jesus went about, it says, all the cities, all the villages, and he did three things. What did he do? He taught, he preached, and he healed. He did those three things. And then my Bible said, and when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherds. And so I want you to picture this scene, if you would. But I want you to garner in the emotion. For in my Bible, in yours, it says compassion. That is a nice word. We use it with one another. You know people who are compassionate. But that doesn't come close to the Greek word. The Greek word is splanknizomai. And it actually means having the bowels yearn. When Jesus looked down on the people, his heart was touched completely. And he desired to teach and preach and heal from the very depths of him. Notice it says feel sympathy to pity. And it says moved with compassion. A very emotional term. This is no trivial word. He had deep emotion for the people. Because you see, when he looked on them, he saw that they were faint and weary. They were just like sheep without a shepherd. And it wrung his heart. Take a look at these words, if you would. For we want to see when it says that he had compassion for the people, ekluo, to relax. Now get this. It really means discouraged, faint, lose heart, weary. I wonder how many of you are faint, discouraged, losing heart, weary. Well, I want you to know that Jesus has compassion for you. Not compassion on the surface because he's a really nice guy, but from the depths of his heart. It bothered him. It reached him. He cared about the people. And that's why he went around all the villages and all the cities teaching, preaching, and healing. It says every manner of sickness. What a God we serve, folks. What a God. For when he saw the people who were losing heart, who were weary, who were like sheep without a shepherd. He had to do something. He couldn't just stand there. Well, there's another word here in this very verse. In this very verse, it's called riptuo or ripto. It means to fling. It means to disperse. It means to scatter abroad. Do you see the fun of looking up these words in the Greek? And by the way, please, you don't have to be a Greek scholar. I got a Bible at home, and I read it, and then the word has a number, and I look the number up and back, and I find out that when my Bible says that the people were weary and scattered, and I looked it up, and it means they were losing heart. They were fainting with desperation. It means that they were flung out. They were dispersed. They were scattered. They didn't know which direction to go. They didn't know who to turn to. They felt isolated and alone. And so our Lord and Savior Jesus had compassion. Folks, I'm going to show you this next slide because we've got to deal with the emotion of it. This is what a sheep without a shepherd looks like. I thought of the little children, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, but I'll tell you, this is what a sheep without a shepherd looks like because the bears are always after them. The lions are always after them. The wolves are always after them. And when they're scattered abroad and so defenseless and helpless, and there is no shepherd to protect them, they're toast. So I love this picture. That's what the shepherd does. The shepherd protects the sheep, even at the risk of his own welfare. Isn't this incredible? Isn't this beautiful? Our God goes to the cross of Calvary and dies a horrible, humiliating death. Because if he didn't, the wolves and the lions and the bears would get us. When I was younger, I loved to watch National Geographic. I was always interested in animals. Of course, in college, I majored in biology. But now that I'm older, I can't stand to watch National Geographic. I'm sick of the tigers taking down a cute little baby elephant. I'm tired of the tigers taking down a little tiny gazelle. I don't like that. But this is reality. This is exactly what's happening out there. That without a shepherd, the people are fair game. They are scattered in absolute stark fear. They don't know where to go, to where to turn. They don't have any protection. And so our God in heaven, from the depths of his heart, proved by Calvary's cross, has compassion on all those who are weary and who are scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Well, when we look at the next verse that says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest, the word is in Greek for reaping, that is the crop, the harvest, is what? The harvest is plentiful. And the Greek word, polus, much. In any respect, or plural, many, abundant. God is telling his disciples, which is you and I today, that the harvest is abundant, is plentiful. But the crop is absolutely useless if it's not harvested. In fact, if it isn't harvested, it's like a sheep without a shepherd. And so we see that the harvest is plentiful. That harvest is much. But then it says, ergates, a toiler or a teacher, a laborer, a worker or a workman is what? Few. F-E-W. Few. The harvest is plentiful, but the labor is few. Now we got a problem, don't we? The sheep without a shepherd gives the bears, lions, and wolves an advantage. And the laborers, they're few. And so what did Jesus tell us to do? The compassionate God of heaven. He told us in the last verse, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest. I like that. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Here again is the fun of delving a little deeper. And you don't have to be a scholar. All you have to do is know how to work some of these newfangled Bibles or even your internet. For notice that word that's defined pray is diomai. Diomai means to beg. It means to petition, to beseech, to make a request of God. And what's interesting, it's a Greek verb, and the verb is in the imperative mood. Imperative means it's a command by Jesus to His disciples. Pray, not, well, I suggest that you pray, or it's a good idea if you pray. No. In the Greek, it's a command from Christ to the disciple. Pray. Pray. Okay, Jesus will pray, the Lord of the harvest, but what are we supposed to ask Him to do? And we're told that we are to ask Him to ekbalo, pray to the Lord of the harvest that He sends forth workers, send forth laborers, send forth harvesters. Why did I put it here? Because I want you to see the emotion of ekbalo. Because there's another Greek word that says send out. This word is different because it doesn't just mean set out. It means to reject or to cast or to drive or to expel or to thrust. Those are pretty violent words. I want you people to pray to me that I will kick out the workers. Get them off the couch. Get them off the pews. Get them off the whatever, their computer chair. And get out there and have compassion for the sheep that are like shepherds and who are fair game for the enemy, the lions, the bears, and the wolves. And you know, I looked at the context. The Bible, to study it, is so fantastic. Actually, you know, chapter 9 is fairly long. It's 30-some verses. 38, that's fairly long. And so I just looked at it. I looked at verse 1. In my Bible, it says, Jesus forgives and heals a paralytic. 8 verses later, it says, Matthew, the tax collector. And then I go on, it says, Jesus questioned about fasting. Then it says, a girl restored to life and a woman healed. And then I go on, it said, two blind men healed. And then I go on and it says, a mute man speaks. And then it says, the compassion of Jesus. What a message to you and I, folks. We got a work to do and we got to get at it. We've got to see through Christ's eyes and see the value of the multitude. And we've got to pray. And I'm sorry, the context seems to suggest to me, it says, pray the Lord of the harvest that He sends forth reapers. But I'm wondering, I mean, I know all the technical rules for interpretation, but it seems to me that He's ordering us to pray that we allow God to kick us out, get us out there, to have compassion for these people. I want you to know I was amazed. I'll give you a couple suggestions at the health fair. You know, I watched Angela, who's a dentist. And so they opened the doors at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and she's sitting at a chair and she didn't move until 12 o'clock. I mean, until 6 o'clock. And then that was Sunday. And then Monday comes and she's at her chair and she doesn't move till 6 o'clock comes. She sits there and works on these patients who pay absolutely no money because she has compassion on them, for they are like sheep without medical insurance. That's just one example. I mean, for some reason, I mean, I could go through a number of people. You know, Meg works in a bank. She was there both days sitting outside and she was registering everybody as they came in. And there's a number of you that were doing that. Why did you do that? I mean, a Sunday, you know what we could do on a Sunday? I saw compassion. It touched my heart. In fact, I found this on the internet. I thought this was cool. I'll take the next slide because it doesn't want to give it to me. James. There it is. You see that little red circle in the upper left-hand corner? That's a little lamb. Somehow fell in the river, and the shepherd ran down to the shore and ran along the shore until he suddenly could reach down and grab that little lamb. And then the other shepherd came alongside of him and helped him save that lamb's life. That's why there's got to be a shepherd. That's why there's got to be laborers, people who go out. In fact, this is really cool. Here's Richard Nelson. I don't suppose any of you don't know something about this young man. It's all over all the news. 18-year-old boy that went to save his sister who was being beaten by three other boys. And while he was doing it, one of them pulled a gun and shot him 5 times last Saturday night. He was a star athlete at Chaparral, and now he's a star athlete at Missouri State, and he's gone. There you see his mother, Roxanne, at his graduation. Roxanne sitting right back there with her husband, Keenan. Why do I put this in the sermon? I'll tell you why. Thrive went to their door. And because they did, they started Bible studies. Because Roxanne wanted Bible studies, Keenan wanted Bible studies. Donna and Sarah are studying with Roxanne, and Chuck Betts is studying with Keenan. Why do I tell you this? Because tomorrow, this young man who's known all over the city and has been plastered on every channel during the news every night will have his funeral right here in our church tomorrow. Why? Because of a group of young people that have compassion that went out and met these people at this very time and started Bible studies. Therefore, the Paradise Church has received a tremendous blessing and privilege because of their care and concern for strangers. So I don't want you to let Keenan and Roxanne get out of here without hugging them, but mothers, I'm sure you can have compassion to lose your 18-year-old son who was a good athlete, a good student, and everybody respected and liked him. And it's tragic. And so let's be the shepherds, folks. I'll tell you what. Tom, where are you, Tom? How many names did Tom say we had? Did you say 50? Over 50? Oh. 60? 60. All right. 60. 1 week ago now, tomorrow will be 1 week ago, 60 names. Tom, who's going to go see these people?
I can't see all of them.
And the longer we wait, what happens? Folks, I got a challenge for you. I want to challenge you as you leave today. You'll find Tom back there at a table. You'll find Jesse right next to him. You'll find Andres right next to them. And they have a list of all those names. The list, not only the address, telephone numbers, email, but also the zip code. You can pick out a name on your way out. One person, take one person in a zip code close to you so it's convenient, and go to their house. And if you do that, they will give you a brand new Bible. Look at how beautiful this Bible is, okay? To give them as a gift and say, I understand that you were at the health clinic. And I want to, and you are interested in Bible studies, if you are, please let me know, and I will have somebody get back with you right away, and we'll start the Bible study. Free Bible, brand new, in a box, I'll give it to you to take to them. Because the longer we wait, Satan, look at, read the parable of the 5 grounds. And the seed is cast, and Satan comes right away and goes, takes the seed out. I challenge you to be compassionate, to on your way pick a name. Make up your mind that you're going to go to them and you're going to give them the Bible. And if you happen to go and you see that it's a gated community, you got the phone number, you got the email address. You can tell them, I've got a Bible for you. Because we want to thank you for coming to the health clinic. These are people that can't afford to go to a doctor. And we provided that service for them. Their hearts were touched, and now is the time to reach them. And so I'm just, my heart is pumping joy because many of you are doing Bible studies with people. Now let's everybody take one name, and go to their house and tell them who you are. By the way, Tom, do you have something for us, Tom? Do you have something for us? Thank you.
Okay, guys. What just happened? Exactly. The Amen Clinic. You know what this means? Tons and tons of contacts. I mean, this is a blessing. But now we need your help, because we can't just let these guys just give us their information and never reach out to them. So, here are some steps on how to follow up with contacts. Number one, as always, pray before you begin. I can't stress this enough. You've got to pray. Without prayer means nothing. Two, go to your contact's home, introduce yourself, and say that you are with the Amen Clinic. Ask to speak with your contact, using first and last name. If your contact isn't at home or is not available, set up a time to come back. Meet them in person. If they're not home, try again at a different time of day. Three, make friends with your contact. Ask them how their experience was at the clinic. Four, make an appointment with your contact to meet at a convenient time and location. Make careful note of the day of the week, time, and location that they stay. Five, invite them to the group or personal Bible study happening on Thursday and Friday at 7 p.m. Offer to pray with them before you leave. 7. Say with a smile, "We are really looking forward to seeing you, for example, at 7 p.m. during the Bible study." 8. Pray for these people consistently. Remember, without prayer, there is no success. Guys, the world is ending. These souls, a lot of them don't know Jesus. Well, this is our chance to work with God. Win some souls so that the end can come. It can happen.
Oh, man. Thank you, Thomas. While I was watching that, I realized something. How about the young people in our church? Go out there and see if there's a young person who came, and go see them. Take a Bible and bring a little joy to their heart. What a thrill. What a privilege. Don't be afraid. And by the way, did you hear me? I want you to hear me. You don't have to do the Bible study, but you can go there to make a contact and say, "I'll have somebody contact you." You come running back here. You talk to me, Pastor Neat. You talk to Thrive, one of the Thrive. And we'll find somebody to follow them up. But make that first contact so that Satan isn't allowed to take that seed out of their heart. Isn't that cool? And so, young people, I'm challenging you to be a part of this. You're not too young. Father, I want to thank you for this hour, that you made all of this happening, including the fact that we could minister to Roxanne and Keenan, even though they have received great support from the community. And Father, I want you to bless the service tomorrow too, that it will bring honor and glory to your name and comfort to all who attend. I actually pray too, you bring the deacons tomorrow. It starts at 12 o'clock and we're going to have lots of people coming. These young people are hurting over this startling experience, and we need help in directing traffic. And then, Father, move upon all our hearts that we each take a name and we go. And we bring them a gift of the Bible so they can be no longer sheep without a shepherd. So move upon us now. And Lord, anyone who's making a decision to do this, help them to follow through, because Satan will try to come to them too and say, "Oh, there's no rush here. Take your time." And so guide us now, Lord, through your Spirit. And thank you for this wonderful group that always rises to the occasion. Bless them each special, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I invite you to stand with me as we sing our closing hymn. It's "Far and Near, the Fields Are Teeming." Hymn number 358.
Far and near, the fields are teeming, the sheaves are driving grain. Far and
Father, dismiss us with your presence. Keep us safe. For those who go out, Lord, give them a joyous experience that they can come back here and share with us. And thank you for providing these opportunities. Thank you for being with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.